from the streaming point of view? Okay, good. Oh, it's all good. Great. So, actually, I'm not talking about the Power Show again for the second week in a row, I think I'm doing this, but rather going for something topical. And I try to sort of avoid this, but yeah, I feel like I have to say something now. So, I'm not sure if the home viewers are getting this, but basically, what I've got up here is some of the... Sorry. I don't believe I'm doing this. You know what I really wanted to do? Yonatan for Purim had an amazing costume, which I saw, which was like astronaut suit with toilet paper. That was great. Tell you what. I really wanted to put his photo up there, but I couldn't get the WhatsApp to work, and I wanted it to be a surprise. So it's not there, but I recommend looking at it. It's really funny. Anyway, but look, it is like, you know, obviously there's a bit of a humorous side to this, like, oh, you know, toilet paper panic, etc., etc. But there is actually... I'm trying to stop myself from laughing right now, but there is actually a serious side to this, whereas obviously, I mean, I'm using one very specific example, of course. There could have been many different examples of the way people have sort of been panicking about the coronavirus. I'm not going to actually talk about the medical aspects about this at the moment because I'm sick of being a doctor. For one day, I'm going to be not a doctor today, but, you know, if you're really keen, maybe talk to me afterwards, but not this sermon. We're not talking about the medical aspects. What I want to talk about is some of the dark sides to the panic. As you guys would know in particular, last Saturday, actually, there was a brawl in Western Sydney over toilet paper. Now, who would have thought such a thing, you know, like a month ago, you know, people fighting over toilet paper? Like, it sounds so insane, you know, absurd, yeah? But it actually happened. I've entered the link to the article, which you can actually watch some of the video and some of the content there. I'm not usually a big fan of the ABC, to be honest, because of its left-wing bias, but I think on these issues, it's fine. So I've linked the ABC article here. So unfortunately, these two women got into a fight over toilet paper. So one woman had like a trolley full of toilet paper. She was panic buying. And the other woman wanted like one packet. So then like the other woman wouldn't give her the packet. And then they started fighting. It had to be separated. And they'll actually face court in April. They both got charged over this, isn't it? So again, quite a bit of a dark side to this when you think about it. It's like it goes to show how such a small thing can actually cause a social unrest, which is actually, I think, quite concerning, to be honest. In some instances, hardship does bring out the best in people, but most of the time, I think it brings out the worst in people, to be honest. I think, as we're seeing with the coronavirus incidents, this is a very small example, but I do think, actually, in this situation, it's bringing out the worst in people. I'm generalising, of course. In some people, it's bringing out the best, but in some people, it's making no change. But, you know, generally speaking, we're seeing a little bit of social strain as a result of this. Now, I personally actually have learnt a lot from this coronavirus. We call it pandemic now because the World Health Organization has called it a pandemic, so we have to call it a pandemic now. And I've actually learnt a lot about this. Like, it's not from even a medical's point of view. I've actually learnt a lot from how people react to it. I really think it's a really enlightening scenario when it comes to spiritual truths. So, like I mentioned before, a month ago, we would have thought this is laughable. This is no way this is going to happen, but it's happened. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's really not such a big deal to not have toilet paper. If worse comes to worse, you don't have toilet paper, you're not going to die from it. You know, you have to use, I don't know, toilet paper, leaves, I don't know. Like, well, actually, I saw online, actually, like, there's reusable, you know how they have reusable nappies, and, like, I mean, that's very old school, but they used to have, like, reusable nappies, and so reusable toilet paper, there's actually this woman selling it for, like, I think $50 for, like, 24 squares, which you can actually reuse. So anyway, but grand scheme of things, you know, toilet paper crisis is not really a crisis. It's not as if we're starving or anything like that. It's not as if essential services have stopped. But even this small strain on us has actually caused regular people, I'm sure those two women were otherwise regular people, causing regular people to act in extreme ways. And I think there's actually, you know, today I'm not going to be surprised if there's a reduction in attendance here because of coronavirus fears. Again, look, that's not really an extreme situation, but again, it's causing otherwise regular people to act in ways which they wouldn't otherwise react in, and not for the better. That's what I'm trying to say. So I actually sort of shudder to think what would actually happen if there was an actual crisis, like, I don't know, a repeat of World War II or something like that, when there were actually real, you know, real shortages, I'm a bit, you know, a bit pessimistic to think about what would happen if that was the case. So what I want to talk about today, actually, I think the Bible has been proved correct again, of course, but I really think the coronavirus epidemic is actually proving the Bible correct once again. Now, there's two main things that I've learned. One of them I'll talk about in this service, which is that hardship bringing out the best in people is a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So I'm going to talk about this today. And in the second service, I'll be talking about sort of the fall of mankind, the sinfulness of mankind. It's not the sin of each individual person per se, but the general state of sin that we're in. So I'll talk about that in the main service. But for this service, you guys get an extra exclusive message, because they'll hear the mankind's, you know, sinfulness of mankind's message, but you guys will also hear that, but you guys will hear this message too. So I do like to keep it that way as well. So yeah, you guys come early, you get a bit extra, which is nice. But I will talk about, you know, the aspect of hardship, persecution, whatever it may be, bringing out the best in us, because that's not something that comes to us naturally. So I think really the best way to learn about this is look at the example of believers. Whether we like it or not, we are God's representatives on earth. So that's the number one lesson, whether we mean to or not. So if we call ourselves a believer in Jesus, we represent him. Because, you know, many people have not met, you know, true believers in Jesus before. Like, if I go around, like, I'll give you a personal example. In my workplace, I'm a Messianic Jew. So everyone in my workplace knows I'm a Jew who believes in Jesus. Now, even though I'm not necessarily being all, you know, I'm doing my everyday lot, you know, everyday activities, you know, they're probably never going to meet another Messianic Jew ever again. So if I don't leave a good impression on people, they're going to think, oh, Messianic Jews, they're so selfish, they're so, oh, they're terrible doctors, oh, you know, like, if we don't leave good examples, then people will not have good impression of not only us, but also the God we serve. So it's very important to remember that. It is not an option to turn off, even for a second. And how we react to different situations will show others the truth or otherwise of our faith. And this can be for the good. So there's a scriptural reference to this I'd like to read from Matthew 5. Let your light shine before others, so that's Jesus talking, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So that's Jesus talking. So from us doing good works, people will bless our God because they see our good works. And also it could be for the bad, of course. So, and this is Jesus talking again. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. This is from Matthew 21. In that scenario, you can imagine maybe the Romans going through the temple, or who knows, non-Jews, not because there are non-Jews permitted in some parts of the temple. If they would be seeing, you know, I can imagine what they would be seeing. They would be seeing, like, you know, Jews selling stuff in the temple. They wouldn't get necessarily a very good spiritual impression. So, again, it can be good for the good, it could be for the bad. In the New Testament, we read about many hardships that believers faced, in particular persecution. That's the main hardship they faced at the time. And thinking of examples that come to mind, of course, Yeshua himself, Paul, and there's others, of course. Stephen, in particular, from Acts, from the book of Acts, actually comes to mind as well. He gave a very heroic sort of last stand when it came to his persecution as well. And I think, really, the grand scheme of things, talking about the hardships that believers have to face, I think those hardships are far worse than the coronavirus. I mean, you know, if you want to look at a strictly scientific point of view, I'm sure the mortality rates, unfortunately, of these sort of hardships are probably much higher than the coronavirus. So I think it's a useful comparison to make for us today. So what was their response? I'm going to go through a few examples from the New Testament in particular. So, first of all, before we do, let's understand the context. So the historical context that these comparisons are being made. The temple was either about to be destroyed or was recently destroyed, so depending on the time period of the writings. Again, a great social upheaval for the Jewish people at the time, and in this situation, most of the church was still Jewish. There was a great turmoil, uncertainty, and upheaval in the land of Israel itself because of the Romans sort of crushing various rebellions. So again, a really uncertain time. I think people have a great fear of uncertainty. I think it's ingrained to us. I think we're very good at dealing with things that we know about, even if they're difficult. But if it's uncertain, we sort of lose our minds a bit. And also there was, of course, a great persecution of the early church by the Romans as well. That shouldn't be forgotten. And the essentials, so talking about essentials like food, water, shelter, would have been in pretty short supply. And actually, Paul makes, I think, a very veiled reference to this. It could be a spiritual reference, but I think there is some truth in the physical realm. Paul makes a reference in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18, about the body wasting away. Now, that could be a spiritual reference, I guess, but I do think there was some physical truth to that as well, as in not being provided for physically. So, again, they would have been going through many different hardships at the time. So I want to actually talk about what Yeshua said first, because he actually has a lot to say about this. And I'll just go through a bit of what he said through the Gospels. So in Matthew 20, there's a bit of chronology to this too. So from Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." So that's basically talking about persecution for the sake of Yeshua's name. And Yeshua also gives the encouragement though, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So again, an encouragement here. It's from the book of John. And also from the book of John, another sort of warning. "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." That's from John 15. But also there's an encouragement. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So again, that's Yeshua talking himself regarding some of the hardships that believers will face. In this case, it seems more like persecution as well. But again, I do think that the message applies similarly regardless of the hardship. Now, Paul also had a lot to say about this scenario. He is a person who was well acquainted with hardship as well. A few things that he said. "More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That's from Romans 5. And from 1 Corinthians 10, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Again, an encouragement as well from Paul. This is also from Paul of the book of Romans. This is from the ESV. "Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword..." And we can add today, "or pestilence, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." Again, really encouraging words from Paul, for I think really present for us today. So, our response to hardship. So again, what can we actually learn from these guys? Well, a lot, of course, but what can we learn? I've done italics for things that I really want to emphasize for us. So be sober-minded, be watchful in italics. So in other words, think rationally. Don't let emotions and fear drive your thinking. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour him. Resist him." So again, resist the evil thing. If there's temptations to evil, resist that. "Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." That's from 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, from the book of James, "Count it all joy." So again, try and be joyful. "Keep your joy in Messiah, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, endurance, things like that. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." From James chapter 1. "And therefore encourage," I hope this is encouraging, "encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing," from 1 Thessalonians. So some conclusions to this. Yes, this crisis is likely to produce some hardship. Again, I don't think it's... I will put my medical hat on for a moment. I don't think it's going to be anything of what people are afraid of is going to happen, but it probably will produce some hardship, as you guys would be already seeing it at the moment. There will be people who, you know, vulnerable among us who will get sick, and, you know, there are some people who get quite sick from this. Again, in the grand scheme of things, this crisis does not compare to what our ancestors had to go through. Even if you think about modern times, think about the 20th century and all the trials that were faced in the 20th century. I really think in comparison to that, to those trials, we really are not in that big, you know, that big a strife. But, you know, again, there will be probably some hardship. It's not to say we shouldn't be cautious. But I think the lessons that our ancestors and our spiritual ancestors learned from their hardships are the ones we can learn for our hardships today. We should expect hardships, so it's not something that we can really escape, to be honest. But we should be thinking rationally and clearly about them. Endurance is important. But we continue to endure in the hope that we have through Yeshua, rejoicing in this hope, and encouraging each other, of course, and understand that in the end we'll be delivered in all these things. So that's, I guess, I hope that's an encouraging message for the coronavirus. The next message I will deliver in the main service will be less encouraging about the state of mankind. So take this encouragement. Anyway, but I'll end my message here. I'd like to ask Dave to come up. He's going to actually bring a short reflection on the parasha. So this will be quite different to what I've talked about today. But maybe he'll also introduce some coronavirus topic as well. Yeah, I'm kidding. Anyway.
Oh, I will.
No, okay, great. Anyway. Please give him a round of applause for Dave, please. Thank you.
This time I'll stand up here and I'll pick a few people to look at while I'm talking. Last time I looked down.
Short,
I get nervous doing this, so hopefully...